I was in a service several years ago, and a preacher stood up, and he began to speak, and he began to go on a little bit of a rampage about some things that I wasn't convinced he fully understood. He said, "I'm glad I'm not a Wesleyan." I kind of perked up because I was. Obviously, it wasn't a Wesleyan church, but he said, I wouldn't want to be a Wesleyan. I wouldn't want to be scared to death of where I was going to spend eternity. I'm thinking, that's not what I believe. That's not what I'm afraid of. And he went on and talked about, he said, if I was a Wesleyan, I'd just might as well go ahead and take your own life as soon as you became a believer, because there's no way you'd be able to make it through life. And I thought, he certainly doesn't understand this truth about assurance. God's assurance that He gives us. And so tonight, in the little bit of time we have together tonight, I want to talk about this great doctrine of assurance of salvation. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And my prayer is that you'll be able to know with confidence and to be certain and be convinced of this guarantee that God's given us if we continue to walk in the light as He is in the light and the fellowship we have with Jesus. Tonight I want to focus on 1 John 5, verse 7 that we read together. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. There are three that bear witness in heaven. And tonight I think there are three that bear witness to us in the Word of God that help us understand this truth that the Bible teaches about the assurance of our salvation. This blessed assurance that is ours tonight. And we can walk out of this camp meeting knowing that we have this assurance of salvation. I would like to suggest to you, number one, the first witness in heaven is the witness of the Word. The witness of the Word. The first thing I think about when I think and look for assurance is this question. Have I read the directions? Am I following them closely? Here's our direction book. It's called the Word of God. And tonight we have available to us the witness of the Word. You believe that? Say amen. What a great witness has been given to us. Have I read the instructions? Have I read the manual, God's manual for how we can know that we can have insurance? And then not only have I read the manual, but am I following God's principles? Am I following God's plan and His instructions for this idea of called assurance? Well, the Bible says that it's essential that I repent of my sins. Have I repented of my sins? Am I believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I trusting Him as my personal Savior? Have I confessed Christ as Lord? Am I living my life for Him? Have I forsaken all known sin and walking in newness of life? Have I asked His Holy Spirit to come into my life? We have the witness tonight of the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "These things have I written to you." Where? The witness of the Word. "Written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." The first witness we have tonight as we start thinking about this idea of assurance is we've got the witness of the Word. Now, one of the problems that I see with the people having that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, is we're becoming a people who don't know the Word. We hear the Word. We have preachers that are preaching the Word, and we're just taking it their word that what they're saying is true. We're not really becoming a people like those in the book of Acts chapter 17 that when they heard the Word of God, they studied the Word of God to see if what the things they were saying were true or not. You see, we've got the witness of the Word. And one of the things that helps me out in this blessed assurance that Jesus is mine is to realize these things have been written so that I may know that I have eternal life. You see, if I know the Word and I'm implementing the Word of God in my life, and if I'm trusting God as my personal Savior, then I have the witness of the Word, and I can stand on the promises of God. I can stand on God's Word and trust fully in Him if I've done and I'm doing what God's Word says to do. I've got the witness of the Word, and I can stand on the promises of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, "...that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding." The full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, in this witness of the Word. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance." It starts, though, with what? The Word of God. And then the Spirit's power. And then also the much assurance comes after that. We have tonight, if we know the Word, the witness of the Word of God. Luke chapter 23, verse 43, "And Jesus said unto him, Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And someone asked me recently, I said, "Well, do you think that guy went to heaven?" You know what I think? Yes. You know why? Because the Word says, assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. I don't fully understand it. I mean, he didn't have time to give enough money to the church. He didn't have time to join the church choir and a lot of other things he didn't have time to do. But you know what he did have time to do? He did have time to say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He did ask Jesus into his heart. We have the Word because the Word says if we confess our sins, we call on the name of the Lord, it's through the name of Jesus that we're saved. We have the witness of the Word of God. Martin Luther said this in one of his moods of depression. He felt as if Satan himself was closing in on him. It seemed as if he was whispering in his ear. Satan was whispering in his ear, Martin, do you feel your sins are forgiven? And suddenly Luther rose to his feet and shouted, no, I don't know, but I do know they are because God said so in His Word and I've confessed my sins to Him. We have tonight the witness of the Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, the assurance. Tonight, I build my blessed assurance on this most powerful book, God's Word, and the truths that are found in it. This week we've heard all kinds of subjects, all kinds of teachings, all kinds of subjects from all variety of things in the Christian walk. Now, I want to tell you something. As I said the other night, it's fairly easy to be a Christian in camp meeting, amen? I mean, when you're showing up for prayer meeting early in the morning and a Bible study and two services a day and around Christian people, man, it's fairly easy to walk in the Lord. But I want to tell you something. You're going to need this book to keep that assurance blessed. And you're going to need the witness of the Word of God and dig into it. Live by it. Let it be words and strength to you in your daily life and just dig in every day into the Word of God. And the more you get into the Word of God, the more you'll have the witness of the Word of God that will keep that blessed assurance in your life. So we have the witness of the Word. Secondly, I would suggest to you in Scripture, we have the witness within. Not just the witness of the Word, but the witness within. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 that I read for you from moments ago, it says, it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is truth. We have not only the witness of the Word, but in God's Word He tells us about the witness of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that dwells within us. Jesus said to His disciples who were so panicked that He was going up to the Father, He said, oh, don't worry about that. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. He'll bear witness. You'll have this witness within your hearts and this witness within your life. The Spirit within will always bear harmony with the Word of God. And so as we're trying to get this blessed assurance, we have the witness of the Word of God. And if we're following the Word of God and living out the principles and truths in the Scripture, then we'll have the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. And notice this. These two will form together and they'll be compatible to each other. Do you believe that tonight? Now, what I find interesting is there are a lot of people that are claiming to have the witness within, but their life is contrary to the Word of God. And that can't be. That can't be. We can't go on saying, well, I'm eternally saved and I've got this eternal witness in my spirit and then live contrary to this book and contrary to this Word of God. It just doesn't. These two don't mix. We have the witness within. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. God's very Spirit Himself. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us the Holy Spirit. That's how we know. The witness that we have available to us within. 1 John verse 5, chapter 5, verse 10 says this. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in Himself. If you believe in the Son of God, why? Because the Word of God says that He'll send the Holy Spirit to us. We have the witness within. He who does not believe in God has made Him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given His Son. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says this, in Him you also trusted. After you heard the Word of truth, here's the Word of truth, after you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance upon the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise and glory of God. Listen, tonight, we've got the witness of the Word of God And we've got the witness within of the Holy Spirit. But thirdly, I want to suggest to you this. We have the witness of our works. The witness of our works. How many of you are with me on the witness of the Word of God? Say amen. How many of you are with me tonight about the witness within the Holy Spirit? Now, I want to tell you, there's a lot of controversy over this next thing. I'm just going to lay it out to you the way I see it. We're living in this age where everything's about grace, right? And let me say this truth to you. Grace does not erase the need for good deeds. Did you hear that? Grace does not erase the need for good deeds. Now, I want to say it right up front. You're not saved by works. In fact, let me read to you what most people will quote to you. Ephesians chapter 2. The passage of Scripture they'll quote, it's all about grace. We're saved, not by works. And they'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that's where they stop reading. But you know what it goes on to say? "For we are all His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Now, don't read me two verses and not the third one. Because we're not saved. You're absolutely right. There's not a single thing that Burt Jones has ever done that will ever earn him a place in heaven. It's not by any work that I've done. When I get to heaven, and I notice I said when I get to heaven because I've confessed my sins, I've followed the prescription in the Word of God, I've trusted Jesus as my personal Savior, I've confessed my sins, I've invited Jesus into my heart, and I'm walking in His light, and His Spirit dwells within me. And so I'm not going to get to heaven because of what I've done. I'm going to get to heaven because of what He's done. But one of the blessed assurances that I have is the Word of God, the witness of the Word, the witness of the Spirit that dwells within me, is the Holy Spirit. But then there's this incredible witness of our works that follow our salvation. Let me build this case for you biblically. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, and then 18 through 22. "For we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in action or in deed or truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God if our hearts don't condemn us. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him," listen to this, "because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing to Him." 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 5 says this, "Now by this we know that we know Him." How do we know Him? If we keep His commandments, if we obey His commandments. "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and he said, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in Him." What does James tell us? James chapter 2, "Faith without works is dead." Now, how can we go around claiming, "I've got faith, I've got faith, I'm living out the Word, I've got the Word, the witness of the Spirit within me," but there are no action to our faith? There are no deeds that accompany this grace in our lives that Jesus has saved us and sanctified us and set us free for works that will be beneficial to the kingdom of God. Matthew 7, verse 17, "A good tree produces good fruit." Is that what the Bible says? So follow this reasoning out with me. If I'm wanting to know about this blessed assurance, I've got to know about the witness of the Word of God and what the Word of God instructs and what the Word of God teaches. I've got to be able to possess the witness within, the witness of the Holy Spirit. But one of the best ways to know about this blessed assurance is check out the fruit. Is there fruit in my life of what I possess and profess? If I say that I'm living according to the Word of God, and if I say the Spirit lives within me, then from that life, a life yielded to God and given completely and totally surrendered to Him, will bear not just fruit, and not just good fruit, but much fruit. And it seems to me, in all of our emphasis upon grace, which is a biblical doctrine, we've erased this need for us to do anything good for the kingdom of God. And to me, this blessed assurance is strengthened by the fact, when I look at the lives and the testimony and the witness and the fruit of people who are saying, I know, I love the Word of God. I love Jesus. His Spirit lives within me. That Spirit is bearing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And somehow, we're claiming this eternal security sometimes that we're just saved because we invited Jesus into our heart and there's no fruit or anything that's come with it. There's no evidence of a continued walk with Jesus. There's no fruit. There's nothing that can be said that, look, my life is producing fruit for the kingdom of God. And we wonder why we don't have any blessed assurance. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, by their fruit you will know them. Jonathan Edwards, in one of his great sermons, wrote this, 'Tis not God's design that men should obtain assurance in any other way than by mortifying corruption and increasing in grace and obtaining the lively exercise of it. And although self-examination be a duty of great use and importance, and by no means to be neglected, yet it is not the principal means by which the saints do get satisfaction of their good estate.' He said this, 'Assurance is not to be obtained so much by self-examination as by action of our faith.'" Living it out. Putting our faith in action. Once we begin to see the Spirit of God that dwells within us, flowing through us and producing the fruit of the Spirit within our lives, then we'll have a better sense of this blessed assurance that we believe in on the Word of God, His witness lives within us, and His work flows through us. D.L. Moody says, "My friend, you can get rid of a lot of doubts if you'll follow it God's way. First, believe in Christ with your heart, because that's what the Word of God says. Second, confess Him. That's what the Word says. Third, don't be ashamed of Him. And fourth, go to work for Him today. Go do something for the kingdom of God." I mean, what good is it if we come to camp meeting and we just hear and we become hearers of the Word and don't become doers of the Word? What good is it? Or the other way to ask the question is this: what good would it do if we took what we heard this week and began to put it into practice? What if we took the Word of God, the witness of the Word, and began to live it out and trust God for the fullness of His Spirit to live within our hearts and to live within our lives, and we began to live in obedience to God and to His Word and obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the tugging, being led by the Spirit of God. That word led literally means, in the Greek, it's as if someone has an animal and they've tied a rope around them and they're kind of tugging on that animal to try to get them to begin moving. What if this week, as we've heard the tugging of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the Holy Spirit's begun to convict us of sin and unrighteousness and judgment, and the Holy Spirit began to nudge us and tug on us a little bit and begin to lay things on our heart, ministries on our heart, or people in our hearts that we're supposed to go share our faith with, or ways that we can go back to our own local churches and be filled with the Spirit of God, His very presence within us, and be people who have the witness of the Word of God and the witness within, and then begin to allow this witness of our works to begin to shed abroad and shine forth as lights in the dark world? What would happen? Go to work for Him. I wonder if we don't hold on to this blessed assurance sometimes because we're not doing anything now for the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, "Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ." Did you hear that? Those who have served well, the witness of their works, gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, "But if you continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have made known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise through salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news that has been preached all over the world. And I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it to you today if we continue in it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that you may know that you have eternal life and continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I fly a lot, and it's interesting to be in an airport. A lot of times flying home on Sunday night, I know Doug has the same experience, and you get to your almost next point of destination. Now, when I'm going somewhere, I'm as peaceful and I'm as patient as all get. But when I'm coming home, I just want to get home. You know, and it's, when the last amen's done, I just want to get home. And there's a difference when you get to the airport and you see people who got their ticket and those who are flying standby. It's funny, I like to have my ticket. You know, I like to have both tickets in hand. That way I can get to the gate and I can look and see, yeah, Lexington, it departs at such and such a time. And I've got the confident assurance because in my hand I've got that ticket that I know, you know, I can go down and get something to eat. I can go get something to drink. I can walk around a little bit as long as I'm back at the appointed time for me to be on that plane and hand my ticket because I know I've got a seat to get on that plane. But those people who are flying standby, they're pacing. They're anxious. They're always walking up. Have you heard anything? Heard anything yet? They're walking up. They're anxious and they're on the phone. And I don't know. I haven't heard yet whether I'm going to make it on this plane. And you hear them talking to their loved ones and their friends. And I don't know. I'm not sure. I hope I can get on this plane. I don't know if I'm going to get on it or not. And it dawned on me one day as I sat and watched those people waiting to get on a plane. I'm glad for the assurance of salvation that we have, the blessed assurance Jesus is mine. I don't know what flight I'm on. I know He's coming for me someday, but I know I'm ready. I know I'm ready. Because I've got the witness of the Word of God that gives me confidence, assurance, if I've read the instruction manual and I'm living it out and doing what I've been called to do and supposed to do in this Christian life, then He gives me the witness within. And when He gives me the witness within and the Holy Spirit begins to work in and through my life, then out of me will flow these fruits of the Holy Spirit. And they'll be the witness of the works. In the midst of World War II, my grandmother was thinking about the condition of our country and all that was going on, and she sat down and began to pen the words to this song. And later handed it off to my uncle and said, "Would you write the music to this?" And the words that she began to pen were these: "In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock." If you listen to the third verse that she wrote, turn it from "In times like these, you need a Savior," and she made it personal on the last verse. And she wrote, "In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock." Can I tell us tonight, as we go to leave this camp meeting, in times like these, you need a Savior. You need an anchor that grips the solid rock. I want to tell you something. I wouldn't leave tonight so you could sing, "In times like these, I have a Savior. And I'm sure, I'm very sure, my anchor holds and grips the solid rock."